God is good, isn't He? God has blessed us. He's taken care of us. He's protected us. He's provided for us. He's saved us. Before I go to prayer, I want to take a moment. This is Pastor Appreciation Month, and let me tell you how Richard and I appreciate you. Thank you for praying for us, our families. Keep praying for Richard and Kathy. His wife is in the hospital. She's trying to recover. She'd rather be here. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for all of your support, prayers and otherwise. We appreciate you so much. We appreciate what God is doing in us. Us, all of us. But I was thinking this morning, it may be Pastor Appreciation Month, but it's the people that are doing the things behind the scenes that really need some credit. There are people here every week that are doing things behind the scenes that you don't know about or maybe haven't seen in action that I want to recognize this morning. Not to mention some adults, Tim and Maricela and Linda and Scott Michelson, along with a whole bunch of teenagers. If you're here this morning and you spent the night in a box, stand up. And other of our teens helped raise funds to the homeless to the tune of $2,100. Thank you, young people. I was praying for you last night that this would just be the first step in a servant's heart for you. But you know what? There's other people. There's people like Renee House, who's finding people all the time for the nursery, and if she doesn't find somebody, she's in there week after week after week. And there's people like Sue Griffith, who's trying to find people to help clean our beautiful building every other week, and if somebody else doesn't sign up, she's cleaning it. And there's people like Jessica who's getting teachers together to teach our students. And if the one can't come, she's got to find somebody else. And she's getting curriculum. And she's keeping those things going. And there's people like Sue Newkirk and Sherry and Kathy who at a moment I have to call them and say, guess what, I've got another funeral. And I'm asking you to get your crew together to get the meal for this funeral. There's behind-the-scenes people getting her done, so to speak. And I want you to recognize them. If you're here, stand up if I've mentioned you. And our Sunday school teachers and substitutes, they never get enough praise. If you're here, stand up so we can recognize you this morning. Thank you. You see, the body needs all of us. Amen? And I'm so thankful to all of you. And I'm so thankful for these behind-the-scenes folks that are getting it done. We recognize the Awana folks here just a couple weeks ago, a big group of people that's getting it done every Wednesday night. And so I'm so thankful for all of you and what you mean to the kingdom of God. Prayer warriors, people giving of your time and talents. I'm so thankful. But I just wanted to mention these that you almost never see out front, but they're getting it done week after week after week after week, and I praise God for each and every one of them. I praise God for Richard and Kathy. Richard's been our assistant for 1 year, and I praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord and just praise Him for His goodness. Father God, we praise You this morning. We praise You for Your blessings. Your blessings on us have been too numerous to count. We praise You this morning, Almighty God, for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We praise You, Lord Jesus. Oh, You got it done on the cross. We just sang, lead me to the cross. And You got it done, Heavenly Father, by sending Your Son, and Jesus bridged the gap. He shed His blood for our sin, And we praise you for that this morning. We praise you, Father, for your Spirit who's here even now this morning. We praise you for your Word. Oh, the precious Word of God that we have to learn from and enjoy and learn about you. I praise you for your church, oh God, not just the group here, but your church all over the globe. Glorify your name in the church, Father. Glorify your name in this church. But glorify your name in other churches in this town and the next and the next and the next. And glorify your name in churches everywhere. We're here this morning to praise you, to worship you, to bring you glory. And so speak to us, Lord, this morning as we have come to worship you. Thank you for these volunteers. Thank you for this congregation that has been so gracious and generous to Richard and I. Thank you for them. Bless them, O Lord. Father, would you help us be salt and light, this congregation, to be salt and light in our communities, in our workplaces, in our homes. Would you help us to be salt and light? And so as Jesus said, people see how we live every day and glorify our Father in heaven. Would you help us, Father, be salt and light for you every day? And Lord, you know there's some sick folks. We pray for Kathy this morning and Art and Jim Walters and Kenton and so many more that are on our prayer focus. So sick in some cases. We pray for them, Lord. And we pray for those that are hurting because they've lost a loved one. And it might have been a while back, but they're still hurting. Comfort them, Father. And so, God, we're just so grateful to you this morning. So grateful to you. Thank you for watching over our teenagers and our chaperones last night who spent a night in a box to bring awareness and raise some funds for homelessness right here in this community. Thank you for Linda, who's trying to put together a crew to minister literally to the homeless, even in a week from now. And thank you for all these volunteers that do so much. All these people here, Father, that do so much. Thank you. Bless them, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. You don't happen to have a picture of your boxes you were spending the night in, do you? You can pop up there, Tim. You should see their creativity in spending a night in a box. It ain't just any old box. They get really creative. However, at 20-some degrees this morning, their boxes didn't have heaters. And so It was a cool night for our teens and their chaperones in the boxes last night. I'm going to talk about tribulation this morning. Not the great tribulation, although some of y'all feel like you've been there and done that already. But I'm going to talk about tribulation this morning. The tribulation, and actually when you look at tribulation in the Bible, there are several Greek definitions for tribulations. I'm going to be talking about the tribulation in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. And so if you got your Bible, that's where we're going to be. Going to be talking about tribulation. Now, why am I talking about tribulation this morning? Because of what this tribulation means, and I know what some of you all have been through, and I thought we should recognize these verses this morning and talk about it and meditate on it. And just hear from and feel from the God of all comfort this morning. The tribulation in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, the Greek word is phlipsis, and it means anguish. Now, when I start to talk about anguish, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because some of y'all have been there. Have you been there? Anguish? Have had some anguish? It means burdened. Anybody have a burden lately? I know that we have. I know that some of us have. It talks about persecution. It's defined as trouble. Okay, so when we talk about tribulation in this particular context, it means anguish or burdened or persecuted or tribulation or trouble. So with that in mind, let's take a look at two verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. The title of today's message is Comforted in Tribulation. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Sometimes we wonder about that. Does he really care about what I'm going through? Does he really know? Does he understand? Does he hear me? But I love this title that Paul gives to our Heavenly Father, the God of all comfort. He knows what you've been through, you're going through, or what you will go through. And Paul said, Blessed be to the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations. There's the word. Who comforts us in all of our anguish, who comforts us in all of our troubles, in all of our burdens, persecutions, and tribulations. The God of all comforts, who knows exactly what you're going through, what you have been going through for a good long time, or what you will go through, he is still the God of all comfort. He will comfort you in all of that. Even though sometimes it seems like you're all alone, you're not alone. We're not alone. And Paul said, Blessed be the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulations. And why? Then there's that fulcrum point. Why? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It does not say here, brothers and sisters, the God who removes all tribulation. Are you hearing me? It does not say the God who will remove and take away every anguish and every burden and every bit of trouble and every bit of persecution and tribulation. But it says rather the God who will comfort you in all of it. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He is writing to the people of God. He is writing to people that have called upon him as Lord. They trust him. They love him. They want him as Lord. And one of the benefits of walking with Jesus is that he will comfort you in difficult times. The God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulations. There are tribulations. There are troubles. There is anguish. There is plenty of burdens. All throughout life, including in some of our lives, your lives, right now. We've seen the troubles. I know your stories. We've seen the anguish. We've seen the hurt. You've suffered loss of life in your family. You've suffered difficulties of all manner of kinds, financial matters, perhaps addictions, perhaps marriage trouble, perhaps loss of your home, loss of health, and loss of friends. You've been through these kinds of tribulation. People in churches are not exempt. I'm not, you're not. People of God are not exempt from tribulation. Paul is talking to people of God, people in the church right here. These are just things that happen because of the fall. You remember the fall? You remember the fall? Give me one of these. You with me? We still got some time to go. Don't fall asleep on me yet. We are not exempt because of the fall. We are not exempt from tribulations. We are not exempt from anguish. It hurts to lose our loved one, prematurely or otherwise. It hurts to lose our jobs and our health. It hurts to be addicted. These are tribulations. We're not exempt from those, even in the church. But we serve a God that Paul says is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations. I say hallelujah. I say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so today I want us to know two very important things from this scripture. Two things here. He's speaking to the church at Corinth. Number one, you are never in any trial or trouble or persecution alone. We are never alone when we put our faith and trust in Christ. As difficult as it seems to be, and I'm not minimizing your hurt, forgive me if it sounds like it, but you are never alone. Paul reminds us here, the God of all comfort will comfort us in all of our tribulation. I say, hallelujah! And number two, once we have been comforted, per this scripture by Paul, once we have been comforted by God to a point of having some strength again, and I know it's never the same when you've had horrible loss, loss of your children, loss of your spouse, I know it's never the same, but once we have been comforted by God so that we've got some strength again, then it becomes our turn to minister and comfort those who are hurting with the same things we have been through. Amen? He brings us to that point of healing just enough. Maybe we're still hurting. Of course we're going to have this void in our life when we've lost our loved one. But He brings you to a point because He has comforted you. He brings us to that point. We've got some strength back. We've got some life back, even though if it isn't the same. And He brings us to that point so we can help somebody going through the same thing you just been through. That's what the church does for each other. It happened. I've seen it happen around here so often. I praise God for you. I praise God for you. When you're ministering to people like you do, you know what? When Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, that love means action. Can I get a witness? That love means action. And there's no better time to love our neighbors, whether they're in the church or not, is when they hurt. There's no better time. It was just last week I told you about Connie Denny. She just lost her brother, and now her other brother was in an accident, and that other brother's son was killed in the accident. 23, 24 years old. And yet, ladies from this church who knew the boy's mother went to see her last Sunday and ministered to her in her hurt. And that was comforting to her to think that people would even care. But what was really comforting to her was when she realized that one of those ladies that went to minister to her had lost her son too. You see how it can get lived out? Exactly what he is telling us. Exactly what Paul is saying here. The God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulations so that we may comfort those who are going through some kind of tribulation of their own right now. Just Wednesday, in my office, I spent 90 minutes with a man who sobbed in my presence, who sobbed in front of me. On and on he went. And he sobbed because his wife and he are separated. I don't know the ins and outs of it. He does and God does. But my point is this. When we were praying, which we did for quite intently off and on through the 90 minutes, part of his prayer was, and I didn't tell him to say this, and he didn't make it up, but part of his prayer was, God, help our marriage. Help us in our marriage so that when you've healed us, we can be there for others struggling in their marriage. That's exactly what Paul said. That's exactly what he said in these verses. You see, friends, our hope... I was talking to a dear man just the other day. Hadn't met him before, but I was sitting at the table in my sister's home because my brother-in-law is dying of cancer. And I was talking to this uncle of his, man from Cincinnati, because we're both going to have a part in my brother-in-law's funeral. Going to be coming up pretty quick. And we both concluded, not for the first time, but together at that table with our wives and my little sister who's struggling, who needs comforting as she watches Kenton die of cancer, we both recognize our only hope is Jesus. He's the only hope we got. We can put our hope in the government or the preacher or our spouse or something else, but our only real hope is Jesus. And when we have come to know Jesus, we can endure things that we otherwise would not be able to endure. And I'm not minimizing your pain because I know it's real and because I know some of your stories right now. I'm not minimizing that. But when our hope is in Jesus, it's different when we have the God of all comfort in our corner. It's just different. And when we have endured those trials and tribulations, we can and should comfort those who are going through the difficulties of life. We should be there with them and for them. I think of our teenagers, so thankful for all the teens, so thankful for Craig and Tim and Jessica, who spend every Wednesday night with our teenagers. But I think of our teenagers and the pressures they are enduring today. We thought we had a few pressures in the 70s, didn't we? Some of you 70s cats. We thought we had a few, and we had a few. But our teenagers today have the pressures to perform and look just right and be all perfect. And get perfect grades. And come from the perfect family. And do this, that, or the other thing. Because we're doing the pressures. And it drives some of them, because of this inner pain, to things like cutting. If you don't know what that is, I've told you this before, ask our teenagers. They know what it is. But my point is this. Who better to help a person struggling with cutting than someone who has been there and overcome? Who better to minister to them? Abortion. Who can know the mind and the hurt, the inner turmoil perhaps, the weightiness, the struggle, unless you have been there too? Who better to know how to minister to you through that pain and that trial and that suffering than somebody who has already been there and been healed by the Master? Addictions. Who better to minister to the other addict than that person that has overcome, who has overcome the addiction, whatever it was? You see what Paul is talking about? And it could be financial ruin. It could be loss of spouse. It could be loss of child. It could be homelessness. It could be divorce. We need... those of us that have perhaps been overcomers through that are just healthy enough to minister to them. We need to minister to them as the God of all comfort has ministered to us. And I know there's people that probably say, well, preacher, none of that even happens to believers. Oh, yes, it does. The enemy of our souls is real. The fall was real, and the ground has been cursed because of the fall. And we walk in a time where the enemy of our souls will see that people hurt. That's when the church comes along and ministers comfort, the same kind of comfort we've been comforted with from the God of all comfort. Let me wrap it up. Let us not use the excuse that I don't know how to do anything. Let us not use the excuse, I can't do anything. I haven't been through what they've been through after all. Let us not use those excuses, because if we have been comforted in any way, shape, or form by the God of all comfort, we have some comfort to offer in Jesus' name. Galatians 6 and 2, after all, says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the law, to love our neighbor as ourself. Bear each other's burdens when they hurt. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all of the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You see, friends, if you've been healed of anything, through any anguish, through any trouble, through any persecution, through any trial, through any tribulation, if you have been healed by the comforting hand of the God of all comfort, you have something to offer somebody else that's hurting. You really do. You have something to offer. The enemy of our souls wants people to hurt. Why not help pick them up in their hurts? The father of all lies wants people to suffer, especially people in the body. Why not hold each other up during these times? No one is more qualified than you when you've been healed by the God of all comfort to help comfort somebody else. Nobody is more qualified than you are. And as we prepare for this last song, let me just say this. You might be wondering, how will I know, Jim? How will I know? You ask the Lord. Lord, show me somebody that's hurting that I might minister to them and share with them some comfort like you have shown me. You ask the Lord, He'll show you. He'll put somebody in your path. And maybe you're hurting now. You ask the Lord, Lord, put somebody in my path. I could sure use a little of that comfort from you and tangible from one of your people. And as we sing this last song, it's on 203, it's in your hymnals, it's called And Can It Be. It's a great song. It's a power-packed song written by Charles Wesley a long time ago. If you're just needing a little comfort today, we want to pray over you. So you can come forward, or if you just step out into the aisle, you don't have to come forward. I'll see that somebody comes around you and prays for you. Praise a prayer of comfort this morning. You see, because there's a whole lot of folks here that have felt the comfort from God, who is the God of all comfort. And we just want to be there with you too. And so while we're singing this song, if you want to come to the altar and just praise Him or pray, you do that. If you want to be prayed over, you want to come up front, you go ahead and do that. We'll pray for you. Or you just step out in the aisle so I can see you, because I'm going to send somebody over to pray for you. You see, friends, God is real. And the devil is real. And the devil wants us to hurt, but God wants to comfort us. There's no greater comfort than knowing I've been born into the kingdom. There's no greater comfort than knowing I've been born again. And you will receive and experience the God of all comfort when you trust Christ as Lord. And until you've done that, you will never know what I'm talking about. The God of all comfort will reach out to His children. Oh yes, He loves people. But He will reach out to His children and comfort them through the worst of things, unimaginable hurt. And He will comfort them because He said He would. And so if you've never known Jesus Christ as Lord, that's where you got to start. And feel that comforting, healing, transforming, forgiving power of Jesus. And let the God of all comfort begin to put you back together, so to speak. Almighty God, we praise You that You are the God of all comfort. And we praise You for comforting us when we needed it. I praise You, Father, for continuing to comfort those who need it right now. I pray that You would comfort them in such a special way that they would just know You are there. They just know You are with them. And I pray, oh God, that You would use us, Your people, who have been comforted. We have been comforted from the strangulation of sin. We have been comforted through difficult times. And I pray that You would help us to see those that need to be comforted so we could come alongside them and comfort them with the same comfort You have given us. And so glorify Your name in Your church, O God, today and always, as we come alongside those that are hurting and bear their burdens with them. Father, thank You for each person here. Go with us today as we go from this place to Sunday school or to travel or to home or to whatever it is, and help us to trust You and love You and surrender to You and be used by You to comfort those who need a little comfort this week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.